They say looks today matter more than ever. By they, I mean people on the internet.
I've been business partners with people who are fat, and like their eating habits, it always bleeds over into their work.
Rule number one is be lean. Rule number two is don't be fucking fat. You know, like, just kidding. Rule number two is don't not be lean.
The Lollapalooza effect describes a phenomenon in which multiple mental models, biases, stack together to provide an even more dramatic effect. It was coined by Charlie Munger in the context of value investing, both in the positive and the negative. But AJ's career is a demonstration of how stacking things together can make a person greater. Though he always took an interest in fashion and style, AJ's breakthrough as a high fashion model came when he became a firefighter. Since then, he's walked the runway for several big brands at New York Fashion Week and has served as an amazing client of mine, amassing 40,000 subscribers on his own YouTube channel, Pretty Boy Floyd, and helping people become the best versions of themselves. In the kickoff episode for a new season of the podcast, we talk about the importance of getting lean, how style helps augment a person's archetype, and what it means to pursue one's art. Welcome to season 5.
Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Fume. Fume is an award-winning flavored air device that provides a great alternative to vaping. Now, this might be surprising to some people, but back in the day, I would actually hit the vape on occasion. It's mostly because my videographer Vincent would always have a vape on him, and in the middle of shooting a comedy sketch, I would get really stressed out. It was stressful to try to be funny. So our unhealthy way of dealing with the stress would be to drive around vaping and then eventually getting Taco Bell. Since then though, I've become much more health-minded and vaping is not something that I partake in, but it is a case for some people that they vape and it's a habit they want to give up. Well, Fume can provide an amazing alternative to that. Now, it's vapor. It doesn't have any nicotine. It doesn't have any toxic additives or add-ons to it, but it's a much lighter experience than vaping might be. The scent and the smell, it's not as strong. It's much healthier. It doesn't like put you on a path to being on a hospital bed. It's a healthy alternative to anyone who has a habit of vaping. Another useful aspect of Fume is that it has sort of like these fidget devices attached to it. So something that I can find is that in the middle of an edit session, if I do want to take a hit of Fume, I can also use it to like fidget and think and then get back into my edit. It has actually been a source of like calming myself or distracting myself in the middle of hard work, in the middle of editing. So this is something that I would definitely recommend to anyone who has an oral fixation of some kind and you want a healthy alternative. My favorite flavor is crisp mint. It's refreshing and satisfying without any of the harmful effects you'd associate with other habits. Fume has already helped over 300,000 people build better habits. And if you try Fume today, you can order my journey pack using my code SINBAD. And with that, you'll get a free Fume topper, an awesome accessory to level up your experience. Go to tryfume.com/SINBAD or scan the QR code on screen. Thank you, Fume, for sponsoring this episode. Now, on with the podcast.
What does it mean to like invest in one's looks or invest in yourself?
So I think you could go as little and, you know, not to be taken lightly, but like, you know, dieting. You know, I always tell people like the cheapest way like to change your looks is to invest in your diet. Right. So like being as a man, like getting as lean and as shredded as possible, that's like where you're going to see the most like dramatic change like in your face. And I think you've went through this like similarly, you know, like going from a high body fat percentage to a low body fat percentage. Your facial features, they start to come out. They start to pop out more. Your structural changes and that. Even like, you know, later, like going into like some of the cosmetic procedures that I've done. But that is like the most bang like for your buck. That is like where you're gonna see the most change, because that's when I started having like strangers coming up to me calling me like beautiful and like I have such a beautiful facial structure, da da da. And that was like without any like enhancements. It was literally just solely losing body fat. I remembered I had dropped like 10 pounds like my summer of college, came back, and then people were asking me if I got like a facelift. like just because of like that 10 pounds made such a dramatic difference. Women started like approaching me more, and like I started having like better responses from friends and stuff like that. Even like distant relatives would come and be like, damn, you look good, you know. And all I did was just lose 10 pounds, right? I never been like fat or like overweight. I've always been like a skinny kid, but even that like tells you that even if you're skinny, you still have some weight to lose. Like that body fat can really affect your looks in ways that you never thought it would.
You think the average guy, even if they're the average fit guy, has enough body fat to be deterring them?
Oh yeah. I think so many people like they underestimate like how much body fat they have. Like they're like, oh well, I'm already like too skinny, you know. But I know like some people might get at me, right? But I feel like if you don't have abs, like you're fat. Like you got some pounds to lose, right? Like I feel like in order for you to look your absolute best, to you to have like that movie star look, for you to basically stand out in a crowd of just like average people, getting down that body fat percentage is like going to be the best thing for you, right? And now some people, depending on like where their baseline is at, you could even lose the body fat, but you still have to do a little bit more, right? You still do have to you know, do a little bit more enhancements and things like that. But some people do it even backwards, where it's like they'll try to get cosmetic procedures first without laying the proper foundations of like diet and exercise, right? And that's how like certain people, like they do cosmetic procedures and then they become bizarre looking, or they'll like their proportions are off, things like that. So they're doing it more like the lazy route, right? And just trying to pay for the results. But I think at the end of the day, like you need a good foundation of like nutrition and diet and overall just health, you know. Because if you're not like a healthy person internally, like even if like your biomarkers are off, like blood work is off, it can sometimes like pop up on your skin, like the way your skin color is, how radiant it is, things like that. So prioritizing like the important things, like health first, and then going for like the little like cherry on top, right? Like the little cosmetic procedures and stuff like that.
So this journey where you started investing in yourself, that started with diet, you said.
Yeah. Diet. Like I've had people come up to me that are thinking about like certain surgeries and things like that. And it's just like, before you even think about that, like what's your diet look like? Right. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing for me. You know, like when I have clients, you know, I got one client who's just interested in the face, right? And he's just like, oh, I just want the jaw. I just want the jawline, just the jawline. I want hollow cheeks, like things like that. I'm like, bro, like you can barely even bench press 95 pounds. Like the sex appeal is not there, right? So I think like some guys, right, like when it comes to like the masculine approach, and there's always like a masculine approach and there's a feminine approach to doing things, right? And like most guys, like they get kind of scared when I say like, oh, there's like, you got to be like feminine in some ways. And I don't mean that like, yo, you got to be feminine, like girly about it. But when I mean masculine, it's like, okay, we got a goal. We got an objective to hit. Let's do it. So it's like building muscle, right? So guys go in there, they just start building muscle. They don't even care. They just want to build muscle. And then they end up just having all this muscle and looking, you know, kind of fat, right? But it's just like, you know, they got the muscle, but they're like, where the girls at, right? So then it's like you think about, okay, but how do the muscles look, you know, are any details in it, right? Things like that. But that's where the aesthetics come in. That's where like you got to shred down, and that's where like a lot of guys, like they don't want to be, you know, come off as like skinny or whatever. And like that dieting side is like more of like the feminine side of approaching muscle building. So it's like the look, like how you look, right? It's not just that you got muscles, but it's just like, how do the muscles look on you? And that just like increases like the sex appeal of it. And you know, that, you know, like with the guy who says like, oh, I just want like, you know, structured face and this and that, but it's just like, yeah, but does your body look right, you know, with it? So yeah.
What would you say are like the fundamental principles in terms of diet and the habits surrounding it for looking your best? What is a nutrition philosophy to follow?
My biggest thing when it comes to like nutrition philosophy is just like, don't think about subtracting, think about adding. When it comes to like your diet, again, like a lot of guys just think, all right, so I'm only gonna eat like chicken breast, Greek yogurt, and rice, and that's it. And then it's just like, you do that too much. And it's just like, at the end of the day, you're human, you know, right? So you're craving like pizza, burgers, you know, cookies, whatever, right? And then you're saying no, 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 no to all these things. And eventually that dam is going to break, like the water is going to start coming, and then you're going to start having this cheat day. And you forget you're human, you know, going back to like the masculine and feminine side. It's like, you just think about, okay, I'm just going to diet down, just going to diet down. And then you end up just going off the rails. But then it's like the feminine side is like, okay, I want to, you know, have this, that, and a third, but you got to be smart about it. It's like, all right, but what are the lower calorie options? Okay, I like burgers instead of 80-20 ground beef, which is like 400 calories per 4 ounces. I could do 96-4, which is like 140 calories. So it's just like you cut it off like that, then you get like low carb buns, fat free cheese, and it's just like you can still have the burger, but it's still like align with your goals, right? But you know, it's a perfect balance between the masculine and the feminine approach that you have to go through. I don't know if you ever heard The Way of the Superior Man, like that,
yeah,
a book. Yeah,
right.
That's what it talks about, you know, just having that balance between that.
I think to a large degree for most of us, aesthetics is just best aligned with health. If you do what makes you either healthier, or I would say more organized in your person or your space, that's pretty much what attraction is. You know, the opposite of attraction is being just disorganized in a way. I would say a really high body fat, in a way, it's a form of disorganization. You can't like manipulate your energy and your time to know what is needed when.
To be honest, bro, I've been business partners with people who are fat, and like their eating habits, it always bleeds over into their work. They're always slacking. They're always wanting me to do the extra work. It's like that sort of philosophy that they have about themselves and the way that they take care of themselves, like nutrition wise and health wise, bleeds over even into the business side. So I even have like caution when it comes to like doing business with somebody who's overweight, because I'm like, that motherfucker doesn't care about himself. What makes you think he's going to care about this project that we got going on?
You know, the crazy thing is, I think most people, they do care. They care, but they're just disorganized, like mentally disorganized. I think that's the foundation where things start. Yeah. And a lot of our intelligence is carried in our body. Right. Like so often, especially now that I've been working on this movie, I won't shut up about it. I will now, because we just finished a rough cut of it. Yeah. But like, I've been yapping about this movie for a long time now, and I find that as I've been pursuing scenes and showing up on location and working on different aspects of the project, sometimes I haven't been able to articulate what needs to come next until it's happening before me. And then I look back at the footage, I look back and I'm like, oh, this all, it kind of came from me. It was almost like an intelligence that I couldn't put words to, but it was inside me all this time. And I think no one wants to be unattractive. No one wants to be their least fit self. Yeah. But sometimes you can't translate what is going on from the subconscious, the inner mind, to the reality.
One of the hardest parts about having a conversation is only using words, you know? So like, just as you said, like this body, or like, you know, I'm signaling like, hey, I'm a fit person. I'm an organized person. I pay attention to detail. I'm very aware of myself, especially, you know, somebody that's like doing this, I guess, quote unquote, like not genetically, like I don't naturally like look like this. I can't just eat whatever. Like I had to actually like day in, day out, every day, like track my calories, weigh my food out, like to the fucking gram, you know, every day for years. I've been doing this for like 10 years. And I was just telling you, I think I just got to the point where my body actually started to recomp, where I'm starting to get to a point where I'm in that sub 10% body fat range, but I'm still building on strength. But like I'm no longer like losing the aesthetics anymore. Like the aesthetics are staying, and like I'm at like a good place now. And I guess that's where, like, you know, I've kind of found my stride when it comes to that. But it definitely takes a long time to do that. But yeah, I guess like when you ask me, it's just like, you know, being organized and everything like that when it comes to dieting, it's like, you don't understand like how vulnerable and like aware you have to be of like what you're doing, you know. And you know, that's my responsibility as a coach too, is to be like, hey, I've like, you know, not tracked my calories at the end of the day doing, you know, the math in my head, and I know that like, you know, you're probably over like a couple hundred calories, you know. Like that initial hit, it kind of hits your ego a little bit, right? It's just like, damn, I didn't think I ate that much, right? You know, even you feel it, but it's just like sometimes your brain kind of plays tricks on you.
I think everything important needs to be managed. And the more organized you are with any domain of life, one, it will affect other domains. But additionally, on top of that, just paying attention to things, very almost like turning it into a ritual. Like tracking your calories every day. So it's like you go into the thing a couple times a day. It's like you're always aware of this thing. You can do that with many domains of life, you know, about how organized you are, or even like just watching your finances, watching every transaction.
Exactly. Yeah. What you measure gets managed.
Yeah. And that just, it creates so much power. But do you ever feel like limited by it? Do you feel like, oh, I'm not living life because of this?
No, there's a certain freedom to it. Einstein once said, creativity is just intelligence having fun. So it's just like once you become aware of like the nutrition and the calories and something, you can take it and make it more goal oriented, make the protein higher by switching a chicken from like chicken thighs to chicken breasts, by making, you know, that's leaner, higher protein, instead of like deep frying the fries, you could air fry it, cut it up with the sauce. There's like hundreds of sources now, like so many people are aware of this thing, but you can make low calorie sauces now with the bread. There's low calorie bread. You can just make things like aligned with your goals, right? And aligned with your cravings, so you're not missing out on anything.
So if being lean is like, that's rule number one, right? Yeah. Rule number one is be lean. Rule number two is don't be fucking fat, you know, like, just kidding. Rule number two is don't not be lean. What are the other things that people overlook that are important for presentation?
You know, I think it was Real Leonard that had asked me. He was just like, so what do you do for like fashion sense, right? And I used to be really into fashion, like when I was in school, you know, I would always like, dude, like as soon as I would come home from work or from school, I would like pick up, like go on the website, pick the clothes that I wanted, put it in a cart, you know, it'd be like $2,000. I'll never check it out. But I'm just like, yeah, this will look fly on me. This will look good on me. This will look good on me. But, and not trying to boast or anything, but like the better looking I got, the less I felt like, fashion was like important. Like I always feel like the simpler, the better. Mm-hmm. So I always stick to like neutral colors. I don't, you know, care that much about name brand stuff, right? You know, I always feel like, you know, I wear the clothes don't wear me. So when I was younger, now that I'm looking back, it was like I was more so overcompensating to fashion, right? Because you know I model and stuff, so it's like your job as a model is like make that look good, you know. When designers like choose you and everything like that, like they're choosing you because of the way that you look. Like you could fucking, you know, you can make a fucking trash bag look good, right? You can make anything look good. And some of these fucking designers will literally fucking make clothes out of trash. They'll just patch things up or whatever. And your job as the model is to just make that shit look cool. You know, it's just like it'll look good on you, probably trash on somebody else, right? I think presentation wise, like probably, yeah, fashion, it is good. But my fashion is more so like I try to choose more timeless pieces and things that are more simple and not that distracting, because I'm the main focus, right? Like I don't want somebody to come up and tell me like, oh, I saw that on Instagram, or oh, those shoes are so dope, I saw that. Like I try to stay away from trendy shit, right? Because I want to be the main focus. But I think presentation wise, when it comes to that, just try to keep things as simple as possible and try to work on yourself like as much as possible, like in order to make yourself look good, you know, just bare bones look good.
A few years ago, I was starting to make a decent income for the first time.
Yeah.
So I invested a lot in clothes, like Henleys. I would get all these Instagram ads.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, this is kind of, I was really into like the Southwestern look. So I'd
Henleys
and thermals. Lot of leather jackets.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, leather jackets, they look cool and tough. The nice pea coat and all this stuff. And I must say, this is now a few years back. I think this was back in 2022. I would say it did very little for me in terms of, I felt like I was still the same guy.
Right.
Like I felt it did very little for me. It didn't make me any more alluring or charismatic to people. Like, I don't think people respected me anymore or.
Yeah.
People found me more attractive or anything like that. I suppose it hurts you aggressively to be a slob.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we just take that aside, if you're like just coming up to like neutral in your wardrobe, like you wear pants and a shirt, you know, if you're unfit, style doesn't really do much for you.
No, no. Like you don't look good like with clothes. You
it
know
just
what
doesn't
I'm
matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't carry
it doesn't
a lot of weight.
Matter. Like,
and if you are fit, I don't know, maybe styles, because I have stylish-ish clothes now. I'm not as lean as you, but I think I got to a very sustainable level of leanness for me.
Right.
In order to preserve, I think I've preserved some amount of youthfulness for my age with the leanness that I've, you know, been able to hold on to.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just wear a t-shirt and I just fill it out nicely.
Right.
For me, it's the medium size with Express.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I wish I could fit into a large and still be lean, but it's the best I can do.
You ain't got to tell nobody what size you wear. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
But, that Express medium, I fill it out in the arms especially. I feel lean in it too. And it feels simple. And I feel it's just a t-shirt at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all I need.
Right. It's how it fits your body, you know. That's like the most important thing.
I think we see right through the clothes. We're such electromagnetic beings. We can just perceive each other. I can even tell sometimes, you know, some people who drink a lot of alcohol or stuff, even if they're like, I know handsome guys who like just love a beer, love a drink, and they're just doing it all the time. My friend's brother-in-law, he's kind of like that, really good-looking guy, like 6'4", but kind of was a drinker. So it kind of like comes off him a little bit, you know, like it emanates off the person. And that even though they might be like they have great genetics, you know, but it just doesn't feel as sharp. They look a little ruddy. They look a little bit run down, you know, and they come across that way too.
Yeah. I mean, not to sound like a fucking goody two shoe. I mean, I don't drink or anything like that, but you know, alcohol, like alcoholism, like liver damage, you know, cause I work in the medical field a lot. Like liver failure, it creates what's called jaundice, like the yellowing of the eyes, but also yellowing of the skin, you know, and obviously that doesn't look healthy at all. I even see like, you know, people who like smoke weed, like their eyes are just chronically red, you know, things like that. So it's like drugs and alcohol, like abuse, I mean, it has such an impact on your looks. And so many people, they take advantage of it like in their younger years, but like, you know, they'll do all this stuff in their 20s, but it's just like, it's like they're gonna get the payback in like the 40s, you know? So so these little habits and things like that, like I've always stayed away from it. Like, not saying I haven't, like I've tried it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even agree with me, right? And I always felt kind of left out about that. Like, you know, everybody's asking me like, hey, take a drink, take a shot, like, yo, smoke this blunt. And I'm just like, nah, bro, I'm good. Weed makes me paranoid. Drinking kind of does the same thing, makes me paranoid and anxious. And it's just something that's never agreed with me. And I don't know, to me, it feels like a fucking gift. Cause I could easily just be like, no, I'm good. Nope. Other people have to like fucking fight for it. You know, I gotta go through like rehab and shit like that for it. And I'm just like, I'm good. I already know what kind of road that leads to.
I think the point I was originally trying to make is like, we can sense the man underneath the clothes. You know, like the clothes just don't do that much. Yeah. I think style is cool. Style can be powerful. But if you take someone who is extremely fit and is the healthiest version of themselves, they will look good in they'll be the best version of themselves in a white t-shirt or otherwise. If you could be super stylish, but if you're just not healthy, you're overweight or anything like that, it just doesn't sell. Like, it doesn't sell.
It doesn't, you know. And I think, you know, that's why models are so important, like, when it comes to clothes, because when people look at the billboard and when you look at the advertisement, like, oh, that looks good, not knowing that it looks good because it's on a model, you know, like, on somebody that looks good. So it's just like, you got to kind of be of the caliber if you want that same, like, impact, right? When you look at something, it kind of has this little feedback in you, you know. It could be infatuation, whatever, or, oh, I would look that good, or I would evoke this same emotion in somebody else. But it's just like, if you're not on that same level, right, you're not going to.
They say looks today matter more than ever. By they, I mean people on the internet. Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think nowadays it does. And I think recently, like, the whole, like, black pill thing has, like, come, like, a very popular thing. But I've always been aware of it. You know, that's why I said, like, I started this channel like 10 years ago, and I've been, like, trying to tell guys, like, you know, trying to get them on the skincare tips and trying to get them looking their best and stuff like that. But I guess it takes somebody else, like, to say it. But I definitely think so, because, like, looks is just, it's leverage. Like, it's just going to make everything so much easier for you. You know, a lot of guys, they have to, like, go up and spit game. They have all this, like, approach anxiety of, like, talking to women and stuff like that. But it's just like, when you look the part, like, a lot of times, like, the girls will come up to you. And I've realized, like, when I was younger, like, I was diagnosed with social anxiety and panic attack disorder, things like that, that would, like, every time I go to school, I would just feel anxious as hell. Nervous about something that I don't even know what the fuck is going on, but something about to go on, you know. And a lot of times it was just hard for me to make friends. I felt like I was being isolated a lot. And you know, and, like, to validate those feelings, like, looking back at it, it was just because, like, you know, kids are kind of mean, right? So it's just like, it was a lot harder for me to make friends because people would make it harder for me, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're like, good looking, like, people make it very easy for you to be friends. I think at first when you talk to, like, somebody, it's always awkward. Like, it's always, like, a weird, like, awkward thing, like, getting to know somebody, because you don't really have a feel of them. Things are always awkward at first, and everybody feels like that. Like, you got to get through the small talk, and then you get to the deeper, like, conversations and stuff like that. But like when it comes to, like, you know, especially, like, with girls, right? Because it's just like, oh, you guys know why you're here. You guys know why you're talking at this party. You know, you're trying to, you know, yeah. But, like, you know, she's going to make it a lot easier for you. Like, when she likes the way that you look, like, that barrier to entry, like, she's not going to, like, put up much of a fight. Like, she'll even lead it sometimes, like, when she actually really likes the way that you look and she's actually, like, really infatuated with you. And when I started, like, improving on my looks and ascending, I realized, like, how much easier it was for me, I mean, not only, like, to get women, but also, like, to make friends, like, in general. Just because people wanted to be around you. There's, like, a couple of times too, like, when my friends, like, invite me to parties and stuff, like, out in, like, New York and whatnot, and there's this, like, long ass line, and like, the owner of the club will sometimes come out and be like, yo, come over here, you know. And then, like, they'll let us in. They'll be like, yeah, I just want to let you guys in because, like, you know, I like the way y'all look. You know, like, you guys are fly, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, sometimes you get skipped the line. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, some of these clubs even have, like, secret, like, underground, like, parts. Like, they like, they'll call you over and be like, hey, yo, come over here. And then, like, you'll, like, go downstairs, and, like, there's this whole different, like, party going on. So, like, sometimes you'll get, like, exclusive shit just for, like, looking a part. You know, like, women will come out to you, like, women will buy me drinks, things like that. Like, it's different. Different being,
do you think, like, if guys are not getting that kind of treatment, no one's ever coming up to them, like, does that mean that they have, there's more they could do to actualize their physical appearance?
Yeah.
You think most guys would be able to get a response like that?
Or do, oh,
think,
God, yeah. Like,
really?
So many, in today's culture, like, you kind of feel like, oh, women aren't supposed to approach, right? Or, like, women feel like, nah, I'm not gonna approach no man, blah, blah. But it's just like, nah, women approach.
Really?
Like, yeah. Sometimes even, like, more aggressively than guys, because I feel like they already know a man's nature is just like, shit, I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to get me some. So, like, sometimes they'll just, they'll make it a lot easier for you. Like I said, like with that awkward stage and stuff like that, it's so much easier to like kind of get through that. Like I've had girls like, you know, just come up and just wave and be like, hey, you know, come and, you know, sit down, talk to me and be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, oh, like, do you mind walking me home? Like, it's so scary out there, blah, blah, blah. And then like I'll walk with them and then they're like, you know what, I'm just gonna get like an Uber, you know. And then and I'll hop in a car with them with the Uber and just like, oh, I need you to like help me like get into my Airbnb, like I'm so confused, I don't know. And then they're like, oh my gosh, like it's so scary out here, can you come inside with me? And then they're like, oh, like it's so scary, like I have a couch out here, like if you want to like sleep over, like da da da. I'm just like, oh, I mean, sure, you know, you gotta play stupid, you gotta play the game like, yeah, yeah, whatever. And then like, you know, we're like, oh, there's no blankets in the house, but like you can sleep in my bed though, you know. It's leads up to like they just make it like very, bro, I would easy run away. For you.
I'd be like, this is a trap. I'm with God now.
but yeah, they're just a lot more lenient when it comes to like those walls or whatever like that they put up sometimes.
So do you think, like, in the context of dating and romance and all this stuff, do you think it's worth learning cold approach and all this stuff? Do you think it's worth it, or do you think that's just a sign that you just need to, you know, build your garden?
I think you have to build your garden, you know. You know, they say like, yo, like, you know, don't chase butterflies, build your garden, let the butterflies come to you, kind of thing, you know. That's how I've approached it, and I guess that's how I kind of view it. Like, yo, like they'll come to me, right? But anyway, it was yesterday when I was with Rolando. Yep. Right? And when I was with you too in like the gym, it's just like you'll get choosing signals like for women like to come up and approach you, right? So it's just like sometimes, like in a way, like, you know, that cold approach is necessary. Like I only cold approach like if I get like choosing signals. I'm not just gonna go up and cold approach like a girl, right? Because mm-hmm. she'll be like, where the fuck you come from, right?
Right.
You know, I might be unwelcomed, right? So I don't know. So I'm still like, when it comes to code approach, I don't code approach. I just wait on choosing signals. And choosing signals is just one of those things where it just, you know, kind of just gets blessed upon you. Like you don't even be expecting it. Mm-hmm. So I was like the other day, you know, Rolando's talking to me, like we're going to the car and stuff. And I just, you know, that ancestral like, fucking feeling that somebody just staring at you, like, yeah, you just automatically just be like, what the fuck, what the fuck is going on? What's Rolando saying? What we're just walking and girls giggling to her, you know, her friend and stuff, staring at me, smiling. And then Rolando finally finishes saying what he's saying. I don't even know what he was saying because I was just getting caught up in that. And then he was just like, yo, that girl was just staring at you, bro. And I just like, yeah, nah, I should have just went over there and, you know, like said something, but I was overstimulated by everything that was going on.
Sometimes as a guy, when you get choosing signals, mm-hmm. especially if you're not used to it, I mean, I think for most guys, it doesn't happen very often.
Nah, yeah.
You feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, is there something on my face? Is there something wrong with me? am I in your way? You know, sometimes I've been kind of like alarmed. Like I'm trying to make sure everything's okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't realize it's actually a choosing signal. Girls, they're so used to it, they know how to almost ignore it because they get too much of it.
Yeah.
And whereas guys, I think it can be a very strange feeling because getting stared at is kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, but it's like, that's, I guess, how they approach, right? It's just like, I'm going to keep on staring at you till you approach me. Like, yeah. I want to talk to you, stupid, you know, kind of thing. And then, like, you know, how you said it's just like, you'll walk and it's just like, you feel like you got, like, something in your teeth or, like, you know, something's on your face. You go and look at a car window. You're like, nah, I'm good, right? But
you're like, I don't relate to you on this love scale of it. Like, I'm thinking in my history, you're like, oh, yes, there was a time when I got a choosing signal, you know? But, like, it's not like, but you, I was with you the other day. It's like, I saw it in real time. That actually happens, you know? Like, it really sold me on the power of being shredded.
Right, yeah.
Because I am solid
mm-hmm.
compared to the average guy, you know? That's how I label myself. Like,
yeah.
I look like I go to the gym and I watch it to a degree.
Right.
That's what I look like.
Yeah.
But you know, you're kind of like at the finish line of what like leanness, possible with leanness.
Yeah. And I told you, I was just like, you're not far from it. Like,
right.
You're pretty much there. It's just little things, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm like 80% and you're like 100%. But there is a huge difference in like the way you're perceived in the world.
Yeah, I think somebody explained it before. It's like a, it's like the Richter scale, like the way that they measure earthquakes.
Yeah, it's magnitude.
Like, yeah, yeah, it's just like 10 times the magnitude, like when you make that little difference. Yeah,
it's really crazy.
Yeah, know? Even like when it comes to like beauty and proportions, it's like you're literally just millimeters away. Mm. You know, like how they say, like athletes, you know, it's like it's a game of inches.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the same thing. Like you're millimeters away. Like if you could imagine, like, you know, like you add like a fucking inch to your chin, like that just looks bizarre, right? So you gotta take it like millimeter by millimeter. And that's how I've like learned to approach it. It's just like you gotta be like very, very small and take it like very slow, so that you don't end up looking bizarre or like out of proportion. Like everything's like gotta like harmonize.
So are looks God-given, genetics, or are they earned?
I think both. Like,
but if you had to pick one more than the other,
if I had to pick,
yeah, for the average person,
I feel like everybody's got a different like start point. Yes. Right, you know, so like somebody has to do maybe say like major corrective surgery, right, in order to get from like a 4 to a 6. But somebody maybe just has to like get little like fillers here and there to go from like a 6 to an 8, right? So I think it just depends on your starting point. And I think everybody's starting point is like unique. And it, I think it just depends on like how far you want to go and like how dedicated you are. And also like with some of these like surgeries and things like that, you know, they come with, you know, risk at that. And it's just like, is it worth the risk? You know, so a lot of things, like you got to do a lot of research in it. And not only that, but it's just like researching a doctor, researching what you're going to do, because it's like what you're trying to fix, like, is it really that big of a deal? Right. And sometimes you might need somebody who's like has like expert eyes and outside opinion like me to be like, nah, man, like that's too much. You don't need to do all that. Like that's overkill. Like certain people, like I always have like this, I think it's in the 48 laws of power, like stop when you've won, like the law of overkill, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like stop when you've won, because, you know, like the law of attraction kind of thing is just like if you attack something like it's hideous, you're going to end up hideous, right? So you're going to end up making yourself hideous by making something worse. Like say if I got like a mole on my face and I'm just like, oh, I want to get this mole removed because it'll like make me look more pretty, right? But then like they remove the mole and then it leaves this big scar.
Yeah,
like a bigger scar, you know, it's just, it's overkill. It's no need, right?
I think maybe my off the cuff kind of response to it, I think 70% of people can get to a 7.
Yeah.
That's how I'll say it, because it's like a lot of times looks, it's a comparative thing. Actually, it is. It was inbuilt as comparative. Like beauty is defined as the thing, you know, tends to be the thing that is rare. The rareness of something creates beauty.
Yeah.
But to be 10% body fat is rare, but I think more or less there for the taking, you know? It's more or less there for the taking.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, every guy's got to kind of find like their niche, like when it comes to looks. Like me, of course, I got like the pretty boy look, you know, my channel is Pretty Boy Floyd. And like other people was like the hyper masculine, like G.I. Joe looking type nigga, like, you know, he's gotta, you know, he's gotta be like super big and jacked and gotta have like a thick neck, like a low cut, things like that, and they'll go for like that kind of archetype, right? And I think like with the pretty boy look, and you know, just from personal experience, what I've learned is that like putting on muscle is like the best thing that you can do in order to like not make it so niche. Like you don't want girls who are just like obsessed with like boy band looking members, right? You know, so it's like you gotta kind of balance it out with like a masculine look to you, right? So like you gotta like add more muscle. Like for me too, like, you know, like the firefighter thing is like kind of balances that out too, because people don't expect it, but it's a masculinizing like characteristic that like helps me out, so that like I'm not so niched that I only get like such a little subset of like women.
How does one recognize what their archetype is?
You know, it's so weird, because I think it, again, it's like the strangest thing. Like they'll come up and like tell you, like getting comments like, oh my gosh, like, you are so beautiful, like, you're so pretty, da da da. Like, you are, like, sometimes it'll be like, oh my gosh, like, you look so, like, I thought you were a girl, you know, like, you look so pretty, blah blah blah. And
so that's how you know you're hearing, the pretty archetype.
Yeah, that's how you know, like, you're like the pretty boy.
But no, archetype. But no one, I don't think no one says anything to me, so I don't know what my archetype is. You know?
You'll find it, man. You'll find it. I think you could be like the Chad. You know, they say like the Chad's like the good, like, mix, like the hyper masculine and the pretty boy masculine. I think because, like, you got like a nice beard rocking and stuff. Usually pretty boys, they're like clean shaven.
Oh yeah.
You know, so yeah, yeah, but yeah, it's. Strangers will usually like kind of point you what at you it. Are, huh? Yeah, yeah.
Just I think, like, yeah. Maybe for me, my guess is an archetype is best defined as you asking what is within and then trying to express it as best you can.
Because
I think archetypes, anyone can be anything,
right.
But you can sell what you are based off of like how committed you are to it. You know, like, I know this artist Tommy Rickman. He's been blowing up a lot. He just, you know, that Million Dollar Baby song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like all over TikTok, and his, like, a couple of his songs have really taken off.
Yeah.
He is kind of a white guy who's not, he's not lean or anything. He's just kind of like a husky looking guy,
yeah,
with long hair, and he's always wearing a beanie. But he's got this real 90s grunge energy, like real Kurt Cobain, you know, like a 90s grunge band type energy to him. It really retro. And I think if you were to just pick him off the street and like put him in like a uniform, that is not what you would do with him. That's not necessarily what you know, that's not what you would manufacture out of him. Right. But I think he himself feels that, and he's like, this is what I am. And so many of us, we just naturally do these things that we feel like doing. I feel like you probably have always been drawn to like young Brad Pitt as a reference point for like fashion, and you like things to be refined to a degree.
That is true. You know, I mean, not that you meant, yeah, yeah,
European,
yeah. It's definitely my, right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Like the interest and everything, you know, it aligns with that like pretty boy look, right?
Yeah. My interests have always aligned with like captains and pirates and shit.
Yeah.
Like, and like men in their 30s. I've always been interested in like men in their 30s, mm-hmm, who look a little weathered. One of my favorite kind of looks and archetypes is Russell Crowe. He's not a super good looking guy if you just look at his face. His face, mm-hmm, is actually kind of round even when he was young.
Yeah.
But I love him in Gladiator, and especially this movie Master and Commander,
mm-hmm,
and this boxing movie. It's kind of like this rough and tumble, you know, like this 30s guy. They're not especially pretty, but they're like leaders.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I've always been attracted to that.
Yeah.
So I think even unknowingly, I've been acting like that all this time. I've never acted like refined and, you know, like pretty like you. I've never acted pretty, you know?
And I think that's like in my personality, like I pay so much attention to detail and make sure like every, like even my house, like I just be like, yeah, I got to make sure this shit is like pristine. Like everything's like clean and, you know, organized and things like that. I think that like kind of goes into my personality.
What would you
too.
Say is the archetypes in this room? What is the archetypes across the board here?
Shit. No. I don't know. I feel like y'all are like more, cause y'all got beards, man. I think that's what's like throwing me off here. It's probably more like hyper masculine.
You've seen me for a bit of time. I normally go with the goatee thing.
Right.
I mean, we can't all be the same archetypes. I feel like we're all super different. If you had to like put someone on a trajectory, what would you do with them?
So Rolando, I'd probably say pretty boy.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
you look
at
young photos of Rolando.
Yeah,
he's very boyish, actually.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like with pretty boys, they look youthful. They have
happy
that youthful,
and youthful
look. Right.
Yeah. He Rolando when he's perfected probably be more pretty boy.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Unage here.
Unage. I want to say hyper masculine.
Yeah. Unage. Honestly,
so.
Unage reminds me of almost like an Indian Michael
he's
B. Jordan.
Got that thick neck, man. He's got a nice neck. Yeah. Pause.
What are some labels of the archetypes? Like, what are different archetypes that people could potentially be?
I think in like that Black Pill community, I think we've all agreed on like hyper masculine, pretty boy, and that Chad look. Like the Chad is like the mixture.
I see. Those are the big three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like those are the big three.
Mm,
right?
I'm a little bit more theatrical with it, you know.
Yeah.
I was thinking like. There's that Johnny Depp aesthetic, a little bit more bohemian.
Oh, like
I've always
like
been really into that.
Celebrities, like specified look.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Celebrity
specific, yeah.
I wish I had that in me. Mm. I suppose if I like got an earring and if I got really
lean.
But I don't know. I'd probably look like a poser if I did that. But I'd really be interested in being that kind of like long hair, earrings.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, it's always impressed me.
Mm.
Or even the cowboy. I just think that's awesome.
For sure, like yeah.
The cowboy archetype. If I had to leave, you know, with the last note to the viewers, what are some model habits? You know, if you just had to break down five ways of living, being, eating, five model habits so that people can like live their lives looking their best.
I'd probably say like always leave the house like presentable. Like every time that you leave the house, like you never know what's going to happen. You never know who you're going to run into. So I'll always leave the house presentable.
I'll say number one is like nail the diet. Find the diet, like the base diet. I know you talked about how some diets, they become unsustainable over time. But in terms, even outside of calorie counting, because counting calories and cutting with calories can be very hard. But you can find a diet that is like delicious and almost like exclusively healthy.
Yeah, I think it's finding your diet that works for you. Because everybody in here has a diet,
yeah.
Whether you want to have it or not, right?
Yeah.
So like,
we end up eating the same foods all the
right,
time.
Right, right. Everybody has like their own little meal plan too.
Yeah, straight up.
You know, it just doesn't have any discipline to it. It just doesn't have any like awareness to it. But everybody, like if you really take like a accountability for like what you're eating, like you're probably eating like 5 to 10 of the same foods like all the time. Like totally. You go to the grocery store, you pick up the, you know, all the staple items that you always eat. So yeah, definitely like fixing up the diet, having a good like workout plan that's has progressive overload. So like focusing on progressive overload, doing it like 3 to 5 times a week. I think I told you like we're not in the fucking gym for like an hour or two. Like after a while, like you overtrain, you don't even get the benefits of building a muscle. Like, you know, there is a such thing as overtraining. Like you want to go to the gym again the next day. Like you don't want to train so much that you don't want to go to the gym like for the next 2-3 days.
Yeah.
That's how you know that you've like overtrained. What else would I say? I would say to listen to that inner judge. Like listen to like what you're insecure about, right?
Listen to it.
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of people, you know, nowadays, you know, they want to run away from it. You know, they'll say things like, "Oh, don't compare yourself, accept yourself," like things like that that kind of deter you from like becoming the best version of yourself, right? So it's like, you know, if there's something that you want to fix about yourself, like find out what it is that you can fix, right? Obviously, there are things that you can't fix, like. Height, I mean, for what it's worth, height now, but like race, things like that, like things that you can't change. So like you have to learn to accept those things, right? Mm-hmm. You can like take advantage of like those things that you can't change. Like even with race, like I've talked about it before, but it's just like you could even be so good looking that you can transcend race.
Totally, right? Yeah.
So it's just like I've been with girls, you know, like women that are outside of my race, like white girls, for example, and they'll, you know, guys are gonna be like, yeah, I've like never seen her like with a black guy before, right? She's always going with like the redneck, you know, mid white looking niggas, but like I'm able like to get that. So it's just things like that, like things that you can't change, you could still maximize it, right?
I like how yours, we will say what's for. That's really, a lot of it is very mindset driven.
Yeah.
What I'm realizing from you, just hold yourself to a crazy high standard, actually.
Yeah.
Because if you just do that, so much will take care of itself. Like, you hold yourself to an insanely high standard.
Right. And I think a lot of people aren't exposed to it. Or they have a lot of friends that, like, you know, they just want to, you know, be their friends and they don't want to say anything mean. Which, it is a skill, like, to tell somebody, like, to fix something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's all about how you say it. And if you don't say it, you know, the right way, somebody could take offense to that. Or like if somebody's not mature enough or not ready enough to change that, they can end up resenting you and not liking you. So I think a lot of people kind of tiptoe around that, like, you know, like your friends, like, I kind of want to tell him, but I don't know how he's going to take it kind of thing. So with that, this is, you know, going to sound a little weird, but like pay attention to the things that hurt you. Like when
totally.
When somebody says something about you, if it hurts you, it's probably true, right? So you gotta be like, why does it hurt? Deep down,
you're not BSing yourself, you know?
Yeah. So like, if you even like when it comes to like comments on like YouTube channel or social media, things like that, like somebody says something about me, and obviously sometimes they're OD about it, but I'll definitely pay attention to how I feel inside. Like, ooh, did that hurt a little bit? Why did that hurt? You know, is it true? I don't know.
I think, you know, the thing to watch out with this is that, I mean, yes, at the end of the day, this is not an argument to be like really fussy with yourself, you know, to like be staring at the mirror all the time and all this stuff. And like, you know, to over manicure yourself, like, you know, the daily worry about it. Cause at some point you have to live life, you know, you can't just be obsessed with your presentation. Yeah. But even if I were to look at my own life and my own efforts and my caring about productivity, I don't always do everything that I can do to the highest, you know, like I know that like blueberry smoothies, they make my skin look good, man. And I just don't make them, you know, I don't make them. I don't always eat the salad. I don't always drink a gallon of water a day, even though when I do it, I look a lot more radiant. Sometimes I'm not regular with the haircut, you know, even though I look better, or like keeping my closet organized. Yeah. Sometimes I let the mess take over. It's like the difference between someone who is a model. I mean, obviously some people are just genetics do play a part, but the difference between a model and a layperson is that they treat it like a job.
Yeah.
You know, they treat it, they are, like I say this with my YouTube coaching thing all the time. If you just act like a professional, just the mindset of like, I treat this as like, it's a serious thing. Yeah. That alone bleeds through everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like your job. Like if your boss tells you to do something, you're going to do it. But yet, you know, if you tell yourself, hey, I'm going to get up and go to the gym, and then you don't do it, that just shows that lack of self-respect that you have for yourself.
Like you just don't do, you're not doing your job.
Right.
It's especially true. I think it's true for every profession, you know, some less than others, but presentation matters to a degree in every profession. Mm-hmm. And presentation affects your relationship with the world in, you know, it's the first thing that affects your relationship with the world. You said it was one of the highest ROI investments you ever made was your looks.
Yeah.
And, you know, AJ wasn't, it's not a normal, there's very few people who look great all the time, you know, stay sub 10% body fat all the time, and they don't treat it seriously.
Yeah.
Very few people are just like accidentally 10% body fat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, very few. And then, you know, what sucks about that is like, I don't know. I always do that is like, I'll always kind of talk to people who are sub 10% body fat.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, it's just like, you're like, oh, I found an imposter. Like, he's just like, I don't know. Like, I work out 2-3 hours a day, man. And da da da. Just like, oh, this guy, he doesn't really know, you know?
Yeah. Eventually that catches up with you.
Right. Sometimes and it just catches up because, you know, he'll get older, he'll stop, you know, playing sports or doing whatever. And then he'll blame and say, oh, my metabolism slowed down. And it's just like, nah, cause you were super active, you know, before, and you could kind of eat whatever you wanted, but there was a science to it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah,
this has been the kickoff of a new season of a Life in Momentum podcast. If you want to check out AJ and his work, he's got a YouTube channel, Pretty Boy Floyd. He's on Instagram as well. He puts up a lot of dope stuff. He's made this amazing short film that's won a bunch of film festival awards. And he offers one-on-one coaching where he helps people basically maximize their looks. I've seen him work with people and get insane results. I've seen him work with like ordinary guys with a busy life and get him like really lean, really shredded. People who you would originally think like they just look whatever, they look average. And then after a period of time, they look really, really dignified and sharp. So if you're looking to get the most out of yourself, AJ's, his channel and his, you know, mentorship is really worth looking into. Hopefully this inspires you to not be fussy about it, but at least take your presentation super, super seriously. And with that, we'll catch you in the next one. Greatness is coming.